B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. There is a change in plans. We are not going to play Antonio Brown. Rich, what do we have?
Okay, so, I mean, the whole thing is that the Antonio Brown thing, to be honest, is kind of depressing. I mean, he's yelling and he's swearing and he's got his kids in front of him, and it's fairly depressing. So, to be quite honest, I think I'm over that. But there, every once in a while, because there's so many channels on TV and there's now the new streams and all of these different places where you can get your entertainment, that sometimes there is a show that is just phenomenal that slips through the cracks. And sometimes we don't recognize its genius until years later. Certain shows like Hole in the Wall, where your whole goal was to see if your body could fit through
an oddly shaped
hole in the wall. That was the Flying J show.
You could guess if it was a male or female.
Right on the other side.
Now, this is too good to be a woman. This is someone who knows the equipment.
That's right. Something who's very familiar with the plumbing.
That's right.
But in this case, there was a show, and I can't believe I'm just now hearing about this. There was a TV show that was on True TV. The only reason I know of True TV is because when the NCAA basketball tournament's on,
that's right.
Like one of the more random games, the last game on the list is on True TV. Is that still a network? I don't even know if it's still around.
Yes.
Okay. They had a show called Killer Karaoke, and this was between the years 2012 and 2014. Now, originally, it was hosted by Steve-O of Jackass. Although, when you look up Killer Karaoke, there is now a bunch of ads that show Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray,
he's so talented.
Maybe that's the reason that it didn't last very long. But when it started, I've never seen anything like this. So, apparently,
okay, is this before he got sober?
2012?
Because if it's before he got sober. There is a documentary on Steve-O that's on YouTube. And he did whippets. Like, he had these cartridges of nitrous, and he would just do whippets constantly. When I say constantly, like, he would finish one and then do another, and da-da-da-da-da, and he was completely out of his effing mind.
So, this is one of the few times where I will say that Steve-O's not the reason this show is insane. It's the entire concept of it. So, it's a karaoke contest, and you think, okay, well, this is just, how is this any different than something like that show where they flip around in the chairs with the hunk from Maroon 5. But what makes this one different is that these people are set to perform karaoke songs while having horrible things happen to them. In this clip, this is a woman who is walking around, and in front of her are two different boxes that are covered with blankets. And during this song, she has to stick her hand into the mystery box. In box number one are a bunch of actual striking vipers, snakes with giant teeth that are biting her hand as she puts them into the box. No, not her feet.
Wrong
DA.
Appendage.
No, DA, it's not her feet. So while she is singing, she has to. So the first sound that you're going to hear that is a little strange is a woman trying to sing karaoke while putting her hand in a box filled with snakes that are biting her with sharp teeth.
Okay, well, that sounds like someone did a little bit of acid before they came up with this concept.
Everybody performing before he cheats. Make some noise for Emily Wassler.
Killer Karaoke, start!
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting frisky. Right now, he's probably
sounds like, you know what that sounds like? One of my blind dates.
I mean, the second they take the blanket off of it and she got to put her hand in, these things start hissing and their heads go, and you can see their fangs and they're huge.
I mean, who's going to be afraid of that?
I mean, obviously, striker snakes have to be non-poisonous, I'm assuming, if they're biting her hand. So she puts her hand in.
No, they're quite poisonous.
I mean, I'm assuming that's the deal.
Steve-O had to suck all the poison out after it was over.
So she puts her hand in, and they start, like, snapping at her hand. Now, what's great, what's brilliant about the next part is that while she's screaming, her hand's getting thing, they're keeping her hand there, and then she pulls it out. they go to the next box, and she has to put it in there, but she can't see what's in it, and it's just a stuffed teddy bear. But she knows that in the first box, there were these snakes that were ripping the hell out of her arm, and so her natural reaction is just to lose her crap, even when it's just a teddy bear. So the audience can see it's a teddy bear, and then she's still flipping out. So then they move her to a platform that has a box on top of it, and she walks underneath it, and there's a hole in which she sticks her head, and she has no idea what's in there. And it's a bunch of, like, angry pigeons that are picking at her eyes.
Jesus.
What is
it?
What thinks of this?
Like, who agrees to this?
Oh, my God.
The waiver you have to sign.
Pigeons?
Yeah. It's like these.
Ew.
It's these pigeons. She has to stick her head inside of it. And they just start pecking at her head.
Well, she's lucky she could fit in it.
I mean, yeah, she's not a small woman. And she's grabbing on this thing for her life. She does not want to go in. And
no, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to put my head in a bunch of those rat pigeons.
Okay, so she's done with that one. And then the final one.
Wait, so wait, that's the, because the pigeons, your head in the pigeons is the worst.
No, the snake viper. The biting snakes is the worst.
See, the snakes, it's got to be a situation where they don't have teeth. The pigeons.
No, they have teeth. You can see it in the video. They have large teeth.
But is she bleeding?
I didn't see any
because
blood.
Pigeons on your head,
is the
worst.
I mean,
dirty, rotten pigeons. I think Steve-O just is having the time of his life.
Oh, he thinks it's the greatest. So the final one, which doesn't seem as bad until you actually see it happen, is there is a large skunk waiting in the final box that she has to stick her head into. And so she moves her head into this, and there's just this critter. And you can't see it before you put it in. And so you go in there, and there's this critter in there, and it just starts spraying.
This seems wildly irresponsible.
Yeah, it's like medieval torture, the television show. There's one, Fred, which I've only seen the first like 3 seconds of, but they drop a woman in a giant tank filled with snakes, like a water tank, and she has to tread and do the entire song while these snakes are swimming around her head.
Wait, so this last one is what?
This last one is the skunk.
Supposed to be the final or something. What if that?
How did this exist?
What if that? Like they're rabid and they can throw fits. Not only do they spray you, but they can throw fits.
Yes,
they can claw your eyes out. The crowd is delighted.
Somebody said, I love when the crowd's just laughing at the woman getting torn up by snakes. We're one step closer to the Running Man.
Yeah.
And that is the second Running Man reference during this show.
I'll tell you, I would not want to have my head in a bunch of pigeons.
Ooh. No. And I think they got points for the amount of words they were actually able to finish while they did it. I think there was like a calculation, and that's how the people got points.
Well, that is the second thing that has blown me away. Yesterday, Rich informed me there was a song called Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Oh, yeah, Trace Atkins. And it's you know, that song was a hit.
And it was a hit.
Not a good song. Like, I mean, listen, there's good country, and then there's Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
There is a song called Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
She got it going on like Donkey Kong. And ooh-wee, shut your mouth, slap your grandma. Throwing catchphrases out there, make you sing along. Catchphrase country, hoo ha hee ho.
It's a Bob Dylan cover. All right, so we will be back with the great Mike Gorman.
95 Sports Hub.
Heyward want to make a kick to the corner. Smart's going to take it. Make it. Nice shot. Smart. No space at all. Just let it fly. Cool, calm, collected in that corner. Continues to climb up the all-time Celtics 3-point field goals made list.
All right. I have a... I will tell Mike Gorman I've revised a take of mine.
Oh.
And I will tell Mike Gorman that. Because Mike Gorman is an aficionado of everything that I have to say. Mike Gorman, you hear him, he talks about the Celtics from time to time on NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Gorman.
Thanks for the terrific lead-in. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you're a man who needs no introduction. I don't think that you...
No,
need...
I'm talking more about your karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Your woman being bit by snakes.
Have you ever stuck your head in a box filled with pigeons?
Not pigeons, no.
There was an episode... Have you ever seen the show Billy on the Street, by any chance? It's Billy Eichner. He's a comedian, and he goes up to people, and he does trivia. It's really funny. And there's just a random episode where he's in New York, and he looks at a guy, and he goes, "This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen," and it's a guy just covered in pigeons. Like, he's put bread...
I've seen that guy. I've actually seen that guy.
You've seen that?
Yeah, it's in the... He's around New York City a lot. He covers himself in all sorts of food that pigeons would like, and then he just stands there, and the pigeons just come to him, and he eventually becomes just this massive pigeon.
So it's like
Real quick, are you on speakerphone, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Is there any possible you could pick up? We're getting a little bit of echo.
Hold on.
Jesus, Mike.
A little professionalism, sir.
How's that?
A million times better. Well, here's our Mike Gorman.
So you've seen the guy covered in pigeons?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's not any more disgusting than that true TV show.
No, it's more disgusting. I mean, the pigeons are awful.
Oh, Fred, there's guys who do that. Okay, even worse than the pigeons. At Boston Common, if you have any kind of food, the pigeons will come and land on you.
Right.
But even worse, the squirrels there are so, like, tame and used to people that there's people who have squirrels crawl up on their arms. And there's one woman in particular who always has, like, four or five squirrels on her as she feeds them.
The people don't know those wild things throw fits. They like throw fits. That's not good. All right. So anyway, here's the deal: I never liked Jason Tatum. I thought that he was not worth the second pick.
Really? Okay.
Okay. I was wrong about him not being good.
Mm-hmm.
Now here is my revised take.
Interesting.
Okay. Yep.
I thought they should have taken Jonathan Isaacs.
Yeah.
And that will
be this weekend, actually, or next weekend.
No, he's hurt. I guess he's hurt. Yeah. But that will be forever now, the comparison. And I said, give me 5 years.
So Tatum is good now. You saw the 41 points he scored the other night.
Tatum was not the right pick, but he was worthy of a high pick.
Interesting.
So I have I've changed my mind.
What specifically changed it?
I've been watching a lot of Celtics games.
Uh-huh.
And while he is he does not have great athleticism,
but he's so young, and everything that's wrong with his game, there's so much room for him to correct
that. He's not a great shooter. He's not athletic. But I believe that he has size and an ability in this day and age of being a good player. Now, I think Jonathan Isaac is going to be is the future of the NBA.
Uh-huh.
But
you really think Jason Tatum is not athletic?
Danny doesn't think that Jason Tatum is athletic.
Okay. What's Danny think?
Danny said, Fred asked him that because Fred's take was that he thought he was not athletic, and Danny said that he did not draft him because he thought he was overly athletic. He drafted him for other reasons.
No, Danny said straight up, Mike, he's more athletic than you and I, but in terms of an NBA player, no, he's not. He's not a great athlete.
No, okay. On that scale, but he's, yeah, okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a really good basketball player is what he is. He
right. Wait, and so, so that's what I'm saying is I'm saying that now I admit that he's much better than I thought he would be. I still don't think it was the right pick, but I'm saying he's much better than I thought he would be. So there.
How are you feeling about Grant Williams these days?
Oh. Grant Williams is
that's
not good.
Never going to change, Mike.
No,
that's Grant, never going to change.
No, I know more about Grant Williams than the organization does. Grant Williams, I saw play 5,000 times because of my dumb dad. And no, Grant Williams is never going to be a serviceable NBA player. No, 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 not in a million years. And you're seeing that right now, right?
He has the highest defensive rating in the league right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Go get him, Mike.
He does. I mean, he does.
That's a stat that you live by?
No, I don't. I don't buy.
Yeah, because you crap on that. You crap on stats like that all the time.
Yeah,
I know. But when I serve my purpose, I don't.
Yeah. Whenever Dick Leib hands you a stat like that, it gets torn up and thrown on the floor.
All right. How many minutes is he averaging a game?
I'll look.
Williams?
How
many?
Four?
Probably around. No. It's around 15, 16. Somewhere in there.
All right, what's his plus minus?
Let me get to it. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right. He's averaging under 4 points, but he has like and it's like 40% shooting. It's 1.1 assists per game. Yet he's managed to rack up a 12.2 net rating. That is essentially how many more points the Celtics are scoring with him on the floor per 100%.
He's averaging 15 minutes a game.
So when he's on the floor, the team does well.
Okay.
He might not be the one doing the scoring, but the team plays better when he's on the court.
You have convinced me.
That's just a stat to throw out there.
Okay.
That was like Marcus Smart last night was a plus 25.
Now, Marcus Smart is very good at what he does. Grant Williams is good at nothing.
That's harsh.
Yeah, you know what I love is like 23-year-olds that come out of a system program and are late first-round picks. He's going to light the world on fire. You're right. Mike, I'm being very sassy with you today.
Well, I don't think they think he's going to light the world on fire. I think they think he's a serviceable player. He can defend. He is smart.
He's smart, and he has a very high basketball IQ. He just doesn't have the physical talent.
Well, is he playing out of position? I mean, the Celtics, through injury, are forced to play him as the backup center. Would a move to the four help him at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, without question. Yeah. I mean, he's very good with his body. He knows how to use his body, leans on people. Again, he's just an intelligent kid. I mean, this is a kid whose final two choices for college, I think, were Tennessee and Princeton. So, I mean, the lights are on there. There's no question about that.
Can you imagine picking Tennessee over Princeton? That dump Tennessee. Have you ever been on that campus?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact, and I can't understand how anyone would pass away.
Thank you. I mean, that is a dump. Now, there's a lot of dumb chicks that are hot there. But but other than that, not very.
There we
good.
Go. I love the way you jump back and forth between things like that. University of Tennessee campus, dumb chicks. It's crazy.
Dumb hot chicks.
Sorry.
Not a lot of fatsos. We're talking basketball. We're talking hoop. You know what I'm saying?
You hit something, Rich, when you brought out that show in that the only time all year long I ever hear a true TV is the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
It's true. It doesn't exist except for that.
I think they have impractical jokers.
There's 2 hours of programming a year. Yeah.
Which is obviously a phenomenal TV when that does happen. But I do the one weird thing about this team is that it sounds like or it looks like they've kind of found – I don't know, their motivation. Brad Stevens was talking about how you saw how they went through that slump and they would have slow starts and then they would have great starts and then peter out. But the goal has been to try to keep these guys motivated. How tough is that when January and like the beginning of February before the All-Star break to just get these guys to buy in and not take their foot off the gas?
It's hard because by then, by the second or third week in January, they all know where they are in the NBA food chain. They know whether they're going to be a playoff team or not going to be a playoff team or going to be playing meaningful regular season games in April. So, yeah, it is hard to keep them focused because they see that All-Star game. The All-Star game is interesting. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched an All-Star game. I certainly never want to go to an All-Star game. But it's a big deal to players. It's a really big deal to players, much bigger than it is to fans or anybody else.
What's your take on what is your take on Fab Melo?
Taco Fall.
And then people go, he's dead, and then they get mad at me. Taco Fall making the All-Star team. See, I think that is insulting to him, and I think that is making him like a freak.
And I think that it is what the fans want to see. And on top of that, it's already boring. The All-Star game sucks. So why not give the fans what they want? And people want to see Taco Fall.
What do you say?
Mm-hmm. I think the All-Star game is an exhibition. It's entertainment. And Taco Fall is one of the more entertaining assets of this league right now.
Thank you.
So, yeah. You're
absolutely.
Well, it must be nice to be wrong all the time.
Jesus.
Well, you know, they still have a player's vote and they still have a coach's vote. So he could get knocked out of the picture. But
don't you think that's a little bit insulting? Because you're basically just saying, hey, you're really tall. You're a freak. So we're going to have you in this game that you don't deserve to be in.
I think people also like an underdog story.
No, I'm not, you and I disagree. I'm just putting my argument out there.
I think everything you just said, I'd take out the freak, because I think he's obviously used to being as big as he is, and he handles it exceptionally well.
I think his
interviews are really, really good. You can tell that the kid knows the lights are on. When they went through that whole thing the last time he got to play in Boston where Brad made a couple of fakes to put him in. He got up, and then Brad turned away. I mean, it's all this little game that they're all playing, but they're not playing it at his expense. He's playing it with them.
No, Mike, I understand that he's an incredible personality. I understand that he is a worldly gentleman. I understand all those things. I think very highly of him.
You know what it is, Fred? It's a vote for people like Taco Fall to be in against people like Kyrie Irving, who's bitching about, who's saying that, you know what, even though I've only played 11 games this season, I deserve to be in the All-Star
game. Tuukka Rask is not.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think that if you give the fans the power, they would much rather see a guy like Taco Fall who busts his ass and is entertaining as hell when he's in there than reward a guy like Kyrie Irving.
I'm 100% with you this morning, Rich. I was 100%.
I took you to play golf, and this is my thanks.
And what do you get? You get nothing back, right? Nothing.
I got a 27.5 handicap. Just got it from the.
I don't know whether anybody. I'll find out when we go over on Wednesday night and see if he's there or whether he's up in. But man, I don't know when anybody's asked him that question. That's a great question to ask him. Do you feel like you're being taken advantage of because of the height?
Romeo Langford. I love that pick.
I love the name.
I talked to. I was at something where the general manager of the Maine Red Claws was there, and he was saying just how freakishly, talk about athletic, how freakishly athletic he is. I know he's been hurt, and I know he hasn't been, you know, stellar, but what are your feelings on him?
I think he's a terrific young player. He does seem to be a little stake bitten right now in terms of injuries. He can't seem to play more than a week or two without something breaking down and then having a recovery period. But the little glimpses of what I've seen, I'm encouraged, and people whose opinion I respect on this tell me he's a game-changing player, can be, has the potential to be a game-changing player. I mean, he was a high school player of the year in Indiana. It's a hotbed of basketball. You're a good player if you can do that.
I
think he's a guy who we'll see get more minutes as we get into February.
Yeah, I think he's a starting player in the NBA. I think that he's I really liked him in college, coming out of college.
Who would you start him over?
Romeo Langford. I guess it would depend on the moves that they make. I guess it would. I mean, he can play point guard for you. I mean, he could. I mean, how long do you keep these five? I mean, do you believe in positionless basketball?
Do I? Yes.
Okay, so then Langford. Yeah. I mean, then you could put Langford. I mean,
anywhere.
If you're playing, yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much anywhere. Yep.
If you're stretching the court, I mean, you could play him anywhere. So, I mean,
I think if you're truly going to play positional basketball effectively, you need five guys who are about 6'8" or better.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to sneak a Kemba Walker into that philosophy of basketball. And you want to have Kemba Walker on your team. So, But yeah, I can remember, I might have told you this, you guys, this once before. It had to be 8-10 years ago. I was at a post-game press conference in Miami, and Pat Riley was talking. And Riley, all Riley wanted to talk about how the game in 15 years would be six guys who were 6'8 to 6'10 who played every position and just ran up and down the floor.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed. Shoot threes.
Yeah, no shots from the elbow. You're either it's a layup or a three. And yeah, if you're stretching the floor like that, if you're going to go five wide, then you're you're absolutely right.
It still strikes me as something wrong with the fact you see a player bring the ball up the middle of the court, penetrate into the paint, look around, can't find anybody to shoot, so he comes around circles again, and everybody throws it to somebody behind the 3-point line and they shoot. Well, where initially they passed up a layup. Where they rocked the ball up the court.
Well, Brad Stevens does something in practice where he plays like some game where if you take a mid-range shot, that's a negative. He truly believes in that it's a layup or it's a three-pointer. He doesn't want anyone taking mid-range shots, basically.
That's right. Yeah. Although Tatum still takes them and takes them effectively. And I tell you, DeMar DeRozan never shoots threes, ever. And averages 20-plus a game by shooting shots.
Well, Ben Simmons never shoots threes and is, an all-star. So, it helps if you're a great athlete who's tall. So, there you go. But, I agree with you in the Pat Riley thing. I think the whole, why am I going to take a mid-range two when I can, kick it out 5 feet and get, and shoot a three? So, yeah, I agree with you.
Well,
what are you eating?
Yeah, I was, actually. Can you tell?
That's the respect you command, Fred.
I usually do that to Tommy. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, how is Tommy? When's he coming back?
Hopefully this weekend. I talked to him for about 45 minutes yesterday, which is the longest I've talked to him. He basically got himself badly dehydrated. To the point that they put him in the hospital for 3 days and did nothing but just pump liquid into him.
Oh, geez.
So he's starting to feel better, but what was happening to him is he had no energy at all, none. They did find out that he has an apnea problem. So a combination of that, which you don't get good quality sleep and you get tired in the middle of the day, with the fact that he was dehydrated, just was too much for an 85-year-old guy.
Did he watch the game? Did he watch the games when he was in the hospital? Did he tell you that by any chance?
Oh yeah, he does. In fact, I'm working on a thing right now to try to figure out a way to put a camera in his home and just have him in the Barca lounge or in the corner of the screen. I think people would like that, actually.
Could you imagine being his nurse when Kemba Walker got thrown out the other night?
Well, if he has apnea, he probably had a big-ass mask on his face.
He probably threw his bedpan across the room and smashed the TV.
Now we're assuming he had a bedpan?
Well, I mean, he's in the hospital.
Right across the room. Yeah.
I got to take a dump. All right.
I think we'll get a good chance of seeing him against Phoenix this weekend.
Well, that's good news.
Excellent. That's great.
Yeah, it is good news. There's two things that I feel really good about. One is that wherever I go, people want to know what's going on with Tommy. How's Tommy feeling? How's Tommy feeling? How's Tommy doing? And then inevitably at the end, they go, by the way, I love you. I'm in touch with Mitch. And I think you guys just have such a huge audience. It's crazy.
It's not crazy if you look at the talent.
Well, didn't you guys just win morning drive again?
Yeah, we just
blow those off?
Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Can't get too high, can't get too low.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
Well, we appreciate it there, Mike, and that is good news. I'm actually going to be out there. I'm going to the Lakers game. Looking forward to that one.
Oh, okay. Stop by.
I will try to do that.
In fact, I'll talk to you before that because I won't be working.
Is that a Monday night nationally televised game?
Yeah, it's not Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, it is Martin Luther King Day. Is there a special Martin Luther King Day basketball slate? I didn't know they did that.
I think they do.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure they do. It's the turnaround games all from like noontime on.
All right, so you and I get drunk together.
All right. All right, I got some spots around here.
Sounds good. All right, man.
All right, Mike Gorman.
Thanks for agreeing with me on everything.
Everyone enjoys.
Because I'm right.
Mike Gorman. That's right. All right, when we come back, Motley Crue tickets. Everything else is that's on that bill is not worth mentioning. except for Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. But
she'll be a pro. I'm not joking.
No, I know. She'll sit up there, and she's got a weird manager who's kind of like her dad. But we will have those tickets to give away with a What Is Vince Neil Saying or Singing? We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sarge, Sarge, Sarge. Rocking out of Callan with Jay Stu. Sarge, Sarge, Sarge. Getting free soccer swings from Andy Wong. Sarge, Sarge, Sarge. Extra deck sauce with the soggy swings.
And that's better than Vince Neil will sound. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. We have tickets to see a show that Rich and I are both going to attend.
It's the must-see concert of the year.
Yep.
For good and funny reasons.
Well, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts I'm not going to watch. Poison I'm going to watch because Rich is right. Bret Michaels has become Captain America and just like talks about the troops constantly. Def Leppard are too good now.
But as I said, you'll enjoy them because
I saw them play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, and they're like tight and everything is good. But and Phil Collins doesn't wear a shirt, which bothers me. But then there's Motley Crue, and there's a man by the name of Vince Neil.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with caller number 5-617-931-0985, and we will play our game to give away these tickets.
Okay. And the way it's going to work is that Vince Neil and Motley Crue went on tour about several years ago before they made a contract written in blood that they would never tour again. And, of course, they blew that up because, hey, people offered them money. But during that tour and during that time, Vince Neil not sounding very good. As a matter of fact, I have transcribed something that he said word for word, verbatim. I transcribed the words coming out of his mouth while on stage. And I will read those words to you, and you just got to tell me what Motley Crue song it is, okay?
So we will...
Not only do you need to know Motley Crue music, but you also might need to know what his borderline gibberish is that ended up coming out of his mouth.
Speaking in, like, Sanskrit.
Yep, and which All is right. weird because when, as I said, in the past, he has had his vocals recorded sometimes on a computer or a keyboard. However... on this tour, that was not the case.
All right, Jamie, hello.
How you doing?
All right, Rich is going to read you the transcript, and you tell us the song. Here we go.
Okay, these are from Vince Neil's mouth. Rockin' can tell me no lie, will I rye rye. Way too lot, no hand to ga, wada la. Jimmy John dinna, wazid dinna, dow ya ha!
I know the song.
What?
Kickstart My Heart?
No.
That is incorrect.
That is not it. It is an earlier song, if I'm not mistaken. Scott.
Yep.
Your guess. Did you hear what Rich said?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so...
Rockin' Rich... can tell me no lie, while I rye rye. Way too lot, no handagaha, what a lie! Jimmy Jaw dinner was a dinner now, yeah. La!
All right, the end of it gives it away.
Jimmy John Dinna. He's probably actually placing his order.
I want
Jimmy John.
You think he eats sandwiches?
A lot of Jimmy John.
No, he eats vodka sandwiches. And he killed a guy and continues to drink. All right, Scott, if I'm not mistaken, I do not know the song, but I think I do. It is a early Motley Crue song.
Was it Looks Like Kill?
No, it is not Looks Like Kill. It is the end of what Rich is saying that gives it away.
Jimmy John dinner was a dinner dow. Yeah!
Yeah, that yeah is what gives it away. All right, I'm not lying. Greg, go ahead. All right, well, that was ineffective. Chris, go ahead.
What's happening, Fred?
Hey.
All right, did you hear what Rich said?
Not at all.
Oh, jeez. Last one. And if this person doesn't get it, how about we give away two pair tomorrow? Can we do that?
Yes.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yes, I'm sure.
According to the rules, can we do that? I don't want to do anything that makes anybody around here angry.
Well,
can we do that?
That ship has sailed.
Okay. All right. Rocket can't tell me no lie. I'll even try to sing it. Rocket won't tell me no lie. Ooh, rah, rah, rah. Way too lot, no hendaga ha. What a la. Jimmy John dinner, waza, dinner now, dow. Yeah.
All right, you got to know that.
Glad to have you back, Wallach.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
Hey, enough grab ass. What song is it?
Okay, we'll do two more. That is Shout at the Devil.
Or is it? Let's take a listen, Fred.
Okay, is it not Shout at the Devil? Because I'm guessing that's Shout at the Devil.
I believe it might be.
When you just, the last two squeals.
Yeah, wah!
When you went, wah! I knew that was Shout at the Devil.
The fact that you're able to transcribe that is mystifying. I can't believe you actually got anything out of that.
I actually hit the breaking point this morning. So I came in and I actually went to Mike and I'm like, Mike, I've spent like 10 minutes in front of this. Can you do me a solid this morning and transcribe it?
All right.
Like, I mean, at some point, it's just like it's the sound of madness.
I understand.
So he did that. Well, we'll probably switch off so neither of us goes crazy.
We can do two tomorrow. That's thank you.
Excellent. Oh,
you
that's go. Great. All that's right. Great.
I mean, there's no excuse for not knowing that. If I get it, and I don't even like Motley Crue, I just like fatsoes walking around trying to sing that have killed guys and continue to drink uncontrollably. There's a podcast called, this is going to be very brief, it's going to take us, this is a 3-minute soliloquy, but there's a podcast called Go Bayside, and they talk about an episode of Saved by the Bell, which made me go watch an episode of Saved by the Bell yesterday. You can get it on Hulu. Mm-hmm. There's an episode called Running Zach, and they are supposed to do this report on their history, like their family history, like where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach finds a picture of a Native American and then is told to go to this Chief Jehovah's house or something. So he goes to his house and the guy looks at the picture and he goes, oh, yeah, that's Chief. You're obviously Indian and or you're obviously a Native American. So Zach takes Screech and puts warrior makeup on him and then puts a headdress on him. And gives a speech, and everyone's very moved by it. So now he can run in the big meet. He's never run track before, but now he can run in the big meet. But he finds out the guy he just met died. So he's not sure if he runs to run in the meet or not.
What? Does the meet have to do with this?
Okay, because he's running Zach. Zach,
you see, play on words.
Zach is very good at the mile. He runs the mile very well.
Okay,
but he half-asses his report. But then he finds a picture of a Native American in a box at his house. So he gets sent to this dude's studio apartment, and the dude looks at the picture and he's like, "Oh yeah, this is this chief. You're a member of this tribe." So Zach goes to school and he crosses his arms in front of him. And he's got a headdress.
Oh, man.
And like all this stuff on.
Oh, boy.
And he gives this. It's a 3-minute. He has to do a 3-minute presentation. And like the chief guy, like that, he gives him like 9 books to read. It is the most offensive episode of television. So everyone, if you have Hulu, go and watch Running. Yes, exactly. Wait, Joe Wallach.
Boy, costume people had fun that day.
And it's like,
oh, man.
Super serious, and he's like giving this, and everyone's like really moved. But then he goes to call the guy, and he goes, it's like the chief, like whatever there. And he goes, oh, no. And then everyone consoles him because the guy he just met died. But then he realizes that it's important to run because he has a dream where the chief comes back.
I see.
And but the chief is like not your ordinary chief because he likes to surf or boogie board. He likes to boogie board.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this picture. I'm like, okay.
Jeez. It's running Zach. It's a tribute to the Native American.
That's a headdress and a half he's got on. Look at that.
Yeah. Because you can tell by Zach that he's got a lot of non-Anglo blood in him.
The blonde hair, the blue eyes.
Yes. He's obviously got a lot of non-European traits. You got to watch it.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's so great. It's such a great episode. All right. We're going to talk to Will Brinson in just a minute.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.